Sports Ultras. Quite a lot to discuss. This is Sports Ultras. The audio version of Sports Ultras is available as a podcast on all podcast channels on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and all RSS feeds. You can also catch up the previous episodes there, including this one. And so Sports Ultras is just about to begin. Well, so I'm sure you're as excited as I am as we get into Sports Ultra. Today, it's quite a lineup. We have the MTN FA Cup. We have the English Premier League, which we'll be discussing. Manchester United losing to Arsenal at Old Trafford. And then, also, there's a panel quiz, and it should be really, really interesting. And we'll talk about Kylian Mbappe's future, because Kylian Mbappe, he has said that he's leaving PSG, and it looks like a no-brainer for where he would be heading to next season, because, you know, he has always flirted with Real Madrid, and so we kind of know that he might be heading to Real Madrid. So we'll be discussing Kylian Mbappe's future, and also, has Andre Ayew done enough to earn a place in the Black Stars in their World Cup qualifiers, which will come off later in June. And these are what we are going to go through right here on the Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. So stay with us for the next 1 hour, 30 minutes. We'll be giving you all the very best in sports. Colleagues already seated here in the studio. Kelvin is here. Riku is here. Guys, you're welcome to the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Bro.
So let's get into the conversation from the off. I mean, I think that already there's been quite a lot that has happened. But the MTN FA Cup, is the major thing. Kelvin, Bofakwa in the final to play in Swatcherman. Is that what you expected?
Amazing, no. I wasn't expecting that. In Swatcherman, yes, I was expecting them to get past Legon Cities, but I expected Dreams to use the experience in Africa and the dominance in the CAF Confederation Cup to at least push Bofo away and then walk into the final, where maybe in Swatcherman could have given them a run for their money. But it's been an absolutely brilliant, you know, resolute performance from Tano Bofokwa. I wasn't expecting that, and that is what the magic of the FA Cup is all about. You never expect some teams to get past others, and then lo and behold, you just walk past them. Remember, we were having this conversation on warm up yesterday when we spoke about how Nani AFC managed to progress and win the final in the maiden edition when MTN decided to sponsor against Asante Kotoko, when Kotoko just lost that final. We've seen last season how Dreams FC progressed to the final. You know, they played one game, it was against Accra Asofok, where they had two penalties given against them in the final minute of the game. The goalkeeper, Kumsen, saved all to keep his side on and then to move to the final, where they defeated Kumasi in final. So I think it's one of those moments. I don't know whether Dreams underrated were the capabilities of Bofokwa Tano. And even with this game, you know, the penalty that Dreams got to equalize after Bofo went into the lead, there were several questions about it. And you look at the penalty incident, and it's more like, you know, it was a very bad one, bad call from the officials. But very resilient team, Tano Bofokwa. And then they just wiped off Dreams FC. I think it may be complacency from Dreams FC. They might be thinking, no, this is us, more experience in Africa. Before are struggling in the league. They started well, but they are struggling, trying to escape relegation, and we can just walk past them. But unfortunately, it didn't work like that. I was sensing this when before CEO started telling MTN FA Cup committee that they would have to give them extra money to fund their trip to Sogakope for this particular game, because they felt that it was a very bad deal moving all the way from, you know, Sunyane to Sogakope was too far. Whilst Dreams, who based in Accra, would just make that trip to Sogakope. In Swatcherman, were closer, because they are closer to Kumasi. They will move to Accra before Sogakope much more earlier. And then Legon Cities are already in Accra. So they were like, come on, you cannot give us an equal amount. And I think
The Accra teams
they just sent the Accra teams back in, and it's going to be an all bono final. I'm really happy for Bofo one of the traditional sites. If Kotoko and Hearts failed to do it, I think one of these traditional sites, they came back into the league just this season after, you know, a long way out, and they are trying to prove their mettle, and I think I am happy for it. But I'm not sure this is what, you know, many people expected to see going into the final. Shachaman, fine, they wouldn't have had anything to say because Lagos Cities were going to be walked off. But the other competitor, the other participant to the final, probably they were expecting Dreams FC as the holders from last season to walk into the final. But unfortunately, Abdulkarim Zito, he now has relegation to survive, and I don't see how he's going to motivate these guys for it, or how these guys themselves are going to be motivated for it. And for all the other clubs who are going to play Dreams FC, this will tell them that yes, they've played in Africa, but they are not the strongest of sides. They are not unbeatable. We can still defeat them, sail through, and then get our points to survive in the league. So now, I'm just too sad for these giants who, you know, these gentlemen who played very well in the CAF Confederation Cup, and unfortunately, in the last month, have just walked away from something that could have sent them back into Africa. You know, once you play once, you need to be consistent enough to write your name in the minds of people. But you just have one campaign and then it goes off. I don't think it's the best, and so sad for these men. But I'm also thinking they couldn't work their way out well, and Bofo just dispatched them. And let's see. You never know which one of Nswatemano or Tano Bofo may be able to win the FA Cup and also go to Africa to replicate what Dreams did in their past season.
Right now, Oriku, let's talk about Dreams. What in your mind potentially capitulated the? Because I mean, that's essentially what it has become. It's a capitulation after the Confederations Cup. The league form is poor, and then now the FA Cup, they're out. What do you think the problem is?
Well, you know, the thing about playing in Africa is that the level of exposure and excitement that you get, you don't get that anywhere. And it's understandable that whole dopamine rush of being just 90 minutes away from a potential first final, there's an opposite side to that reaction, because once that dopamine rush comes in and it goes the other way, you do not qualify in the manner in which they got knocked out. It hurts, and it sort of depletes your ego, because what Zamalek did at the Babayara Sports Stadium, for a second, the Dreams FC players were looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, how are we able to stop this team in Cairo? All of a sudden, there's self-doubt, there's lack of self-belief, and then there's lack of confidence. I think all of this started from how they got knocked out in Africa. If they put up more of a fight and probably lost, then I think that it would have been easier to bounce back. It's almost in a, you had to kind of like re-motivate and bring them up to similar levels again after that very difficult defeat against Zamalek. But that granted, they still beat Soccer Intellectuals after and then go here. Now the problem with the FA Cup, as I said on Walmart Plus over the weekend, is that if you are banking your whole potential on playing in Africa on a cup competition, then you can't be surprised. The thing is that there's no true favorite for a cup. Anything could happen. It could be your turn when there's an upset. It could go to penalty shootouts. You can pick up a red card, which is unfortunate, and then go on to lose. But you don't want to go into a season banking your hopes of playing in Africa on a cup competition. And that's why I'm a bit disappointed with how Dreams FC have made the campaign in Africa affected their league performance. If you're looking at the standards of the league this time round, Samatex were on top, have 45 points. I thought it doesn't require much to do better than that. Perhaps if Dreams were a lot more consistent in the league, they would have still been in the running to top the league and then get access to Africa. Now the biggest concern is that where do they go from here? Because mathematically, next season, there will be no Africa. And so that experience that you gained this season, how close you went, now there's fire in your belly. You want to go back and replicate the same crop of teams, same coaching staff. If you go back to Africa next season, I assure you, they will be much more calmer. They would probably do better than they did this time because they've seen it all and they've done it all in the competition, virtually minutes away from the final. Now there's a question mark because we don't know when they'll go to Africa again.
Yeah.
2024, 2025, they won't play in Africa. 2025, 2026, we don't know what happened. What if they don't go in Africa, they don't go to Africa for the next 2-3 years? Then this becomes a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
And that has always been my problem with Ghana football. We've not seen any club in the past few years hold the league, the country by the scruff of the neck and say, I'm going to dominate Ghana football. I thought Medeama would do that. A year after winning the league, they're wallowing somewhere in mid-table. They win, they lose, they win and lose, struggling to find consistency. Don't even go far in Africa, get to the group stages, but which is impressive, but they get knocked out. And I just keep asking that, where is that one club in the country that's willing to make this period theirs? I thought Dreams FC would also do that, but it looks as if they've also come down a bit. And now it looks like this time will be Samatex. Next time it will be Nsoatreman. Next time it will be Legon Cities. And that's a bit problematic for, for our league and this one, because we don't even have an identity. We don't have a favorite heading. Who's the favorite heading to next season? No one knows.
Yeah.
And I just think the whole lack of consistency has ended up affecting someone like Dreams, which is a bit unfair, but anyone could see it coming in a cup competition. Rather unfortunate, but now they have to at least survive and play in the Premier League. The worst thing that can happen is if they get relegated.
Very tough.
When I saw the results, I was actually quite shocked, because I mean, all in my mind, I thought it was a day for Dreams to get back into the final.
And all the investment that has gone in. You see, John Entry is back. They wanted to, you know, beef up their attack after that, you know, performance, because they were confident that they can get into the CAF Confederation Cup again through the ticket of the MTN FA Cup. They brought in Joseph Esso. And they were looking more at investing in bringing, you know, some quality into other parts and even selling their players. Imagine someone like Inokateji, the central midfielder, who has been excellent throughout this campaign. You know, he was just exceptional. Even in the loss to Zamalek, you could see his quality in there. Said that Zamalek, you know, players, Eric McQueen, the former player, Azantikos Kraka, was even saying, come on, this is a player that they've been asking me about. Has he been playing like this throughout the campaign? I was like, yes, he's been excellent. He's been brilliant. Imagine if he does not get a team. He's very young. Qualification to another campaign could have thrown more spotlight on him. And that is how players are purchased and they get to write their names. If Vinicius Jr., Jude Bellingham, was not consistent in competitions, there is no way he would have a one-off season and then you'd expect clubs to be chasing him here and there. It won't happen. Look at Victor Osimhen. From the championship-winning Napoli team to this season, the trade for him has fallen. I don't know if anyone has realized
that.
Not much talked about. It's dropped. Nicholas Jackson may have been, you know, Chelsea's player. They were trying to, you know, bank their hopes on to score like 20 goals. He wasn't getting it. But once he started being consistent and getting goals to the point that he has 14 goals, look at the plaudit. Cole Palmer was excellent for Manchester City when he started very well. Now he comes to Chelsea, scores over 20 goals in the Premier League. And look at the sort of attention. Oli Watkins, same thing with him. And it now calls for people to now be looking at the players more. Now you played last season's competition. Moving into next season, you are not going to play it. It means that the stock for the players is going to drop extremely low. And by next season or by next two seasons, I'm not sure you'd have the same level of confidence, the same quality, appreciating to a level where Zamalek or even Stade Malien or Al Hilal will be looking forward to purchasing this player.
The whole team will disintegrate.
Exactly. For someone like John Entry, he would have put in more effort at this age because he knows he's going to play with the elite quality in the CAF Confederation Cup. But if it's all going to be about the league, I'm not sure he will put in that great, you know, effort, especially at this age when you'd expect him to, you know, at least play some relaxed sort of football. It's going to be difficult, and I'm so sad that our players, you know, are not going to get that sort of attention. You know, you strike when the iron is hot.
Yeah.
But if you allow it to cool down, there's no way you can iron a perfect shirt.
Most definitely. And you heard that from Kelvin Ousmane on Dreams FC not making it into the final of the MTN FA Cup. But the major thing you need to know is that Bofokatano are back in the FA Cup final for the first time in 40 years. The last time they were there was in 1984. And, you know, they are back in the MTN FA Cup final, which is a huge, huge feat for the club, given how undulating their season has been. Let's move away now from the MTN FA Cup and head into the English Premier League and the title race. Oriku, is there still a title race to fight for?
Yeah, absolutely.
City have two games, Arsenal have one.
I think absolutely. There's a title race, and I believe that there's another bit of dimension that we've seen with this Arsenal team, where in the past few weeks they've not played too great, but they've managed to win games. I think last season, if it was a game like this at Old Trafford, they'd probably play a 0-0.
Yep.
Or they drop points.
Yeah.
But it just looks like they've unlocked another level where even... I think this was the worst Arsenal performance I've seen in 2024.
Yep.
But they still managed to find a way. And I think it's legitimate to say that that's what champions do, especially for teams that generally play well. On their bad days, when they do still win, then I think that principle of how champions play applies to them. I think Arsenal have done their bit. They've probably done enough to win the league. But the problem is that, unfortunately, it's not in their hands. I do genuinely believe that in the end, no matter what happens, you know, there will be a lot of talk on social media if Arsenal don't win the league. But I genuinely think that there's been an improvement, which is quite difficult, given what they even did last season. To improve on what they did last season,
yeah,
is difficult, and they've done it. And it's only a matter of time. The way Arsenal is being managed, the way their team is being coached, the way they are signing players for Mikel Arteta, it's only a matter of time before he starts dominating the English Premier League. And I say this because it's been constant leaps being taken every season, and I do think that this was the season where they should have won it. Maybe a couple of results could have gone their way, but unfortunately it didn't. But I do see them winning the league about 2-3 times in the next
The question is, this feels like climbing a mountain. You know, you get to a certain point, and isn't this season what getting to the summit feels like?
Yeah, I think you know, the thing about Arsenal and Arteta is that Arteta is an inside man. He's been in the camp of the monster that they're competing against. And so if anyone knows what it takes to beat them, I think it's Mikel. And you just need to be almost perfect. You need to reach incredible heights to be able to topple this Manchester City side. And I think that's what they'll use for motivation. That pain of probably getting 89 points and not winning the league. That's what probably would motivate them to be one more ruthless. We saw how ruthless they were in this transfer window.
Yeah.
I think by end of June, beginning of July, they had signed all their players.
Yeah.
Arsenal were one of the few teams to go into preseason with their full team. They had signed everyone that they wanted to sign. It's probably maybe the Declan Rice deal that, because City were in the mix, it was delaying them a bit. But 80-90% of their squad was already sorted out. And I have a feeling that they would be that ruthless again, especially if they lose out on the league, because that means that they have to improve on other positions. They probably need to get a striker, a left back, and try and, you know, compete with this Manchester City side. I think that, truth be told, at a point, City will hit a block. That's just normal human behavior. If it's not this season, it's going to come in the next year or the next 2 years. The question is, even in their dominant period with the Jurgen Klopp, there was that season where they hit a block. It's going to come. But the question is, when it comes, would you be the second best team in the country to be able to take advantage?
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal would. So no matter how this season ends, I think it's been a success for them. You have to consider where the project is coming from. I always say this. Look at when Mikel Arteta took over years back. Nobody would have thought they would be going neck and neck with Manchester City in a title race with a week to go. Now they are here. Last season, they didn't go to the final day. This season, they are going to the final day. And I think that eventually, if City don't stumble this season, next season they would. If they don't next season, the season after they
But
would.
Chelsea gets better next season.
No, Chelsea are not close to the league. Chelsea, there's no way Chelsea become title contenders next season.
No, it's not basically about being title contenders, but it's about putting a bit more pressure on the top two.
I think the dynamic of the Premier League, if you notice the trends in the past 3-4 seasons,
yeah.
Beyond 80 points, you are in the top three. Mm-hmm. If you don't get that, you're not even anywhere close to them.
Right.
And we're seeing that break where usually it's a top two, Liverpool, Manchester City,
yeah.
Going 80, 90 points. So I don't even think that if you are the fourth, for instance, Spurs or Aston Villa will finish fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been miles off this top two. Although you can say that Villa have applied pressure, they're still miles off. And I just don't see how Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool are going to undergo transition. Nobody knows how they'll react.
Yeah.
So I don't want to add them for now.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there'll be enough opposition to sort of shift what Arsenal has seen. I think Arsenal will come back and beat majority of the teams again.
Right.
Because remember that they're already a machine set in rolling, maybe in gear 5. And they'll probably sign a couple of players again.
Mm.
And they'll come back and perfect a craft which is almost perfect.
Right.
So I don't see them dropping off right now. If anything, Liverpool are probably closer to dropping off that title challenge than Arsenal.
Mm. Because win it. So for Mikel Arteta, this has been another progression, especially in the final 10 games of the season. Mm. If it was last season, Arsenal would have capitulated, especially today.
Yeah.
Looking at how they muddled through, Arsenal would have tried to go all guns blazing, trying to get the results against Manchester United. But today, an experienced team decided to sit back, relax, and maintain their cool and get in the right results. And that is what great teams or, you know, championship winning teams do. And we've seen it time and time again. Manchester City last season soaked in some pressure. They allowed Real Madrid to play. They got them and bang, they hit them. And they managed to, you know, lift the UEFA Champions League. Even against Inter Milan, it wasn't easy for them because they just decided to play it cool. And I think this is an Arsenal team that has seen some bit of maturity.
Mm.
I think all that the team has lacked is a player who is going to get them 20-plus goals. And I haven't seen any team that has won the league without one player they know that is going to get me 20-plus goals in the league.
Mm.
If you're a team and then you have no player, then it means that you would have a front three who are giving you 17, 18, 16, 15 goals,
mm.
about four of them.
Yeah.
But that is not the case with Arsenal. So I think that has been the difficulty, but I am overly impressed with what Arsenal have proven. And let's not forget, this is a very young squad.
Mm.
They are still young. Look at the age of Gabriel. Look at the age of Raya. Look at the age of Ben White.
Mm.
Julian Timber is coming in next season. Look at Tomiyasu. Look at the midfield, Declan Rice. Look at Bukayo Saka. Look at Martin Odegaard. They are playing some best football of their lives,
mm.
and their football careers. So if it should go on, if Arsenal should lose this, I don't think they should be so down, because they are playing against, you know, a monstrous Pep Guardiola team. But they have really lifted up themselves from the ashes that they've been through in the last, should I even say 20 years? Because, yes, from 2004, 2005, Arsenal haven't been that extremely great. Even in the season Leicester won the league, we saw how they bottled it, you know, very, very terribly. Yeah. So, impressive from Mikel Arteta and his side. And I love what they've given so far this season.
Most definitely. Now, Oriku, last question on Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Arsenal have lost 5 times this season. Mm-hmm. If you're Mikel Arteta, what are you potentially looking at doing next season?
Well, I think next season you have to ensure that this remains your base. Your mm-hmm. base now should be 89 points. Mm-hmm. If they do win their last game against...
Or cut down the losses. Because yeah. City have 3 losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to ensure that you do not get lower in the first instant. So, you know, I think if you want to win the Premier League in this current era, you need to be at 100-point pace. And that means that there has to be a point in the season where you are going 25, 30 games unbeaten.
That's crazy.
Yes, in all competitions. And you know, the thing about Arsenal is that they never really got so deep into unbeaten runs.
Mm.
And the thing, you see, when you look at Liverpool and City in the peak of their era, the reason why they were barely losing games, was that Liverpool will go 19 games in the Premier League without losing. City will go 2021 without losing. Mm. Remember, it's not a winning streak. It's just the magic of holding on to an unbeaten streak. Sometimes the spirit of it would save you a couple of losses and give you draws instead.
Yeah.
That's what I think maybe this Arsenal side needs to learn to do. They need to go on long, because even this 2024 form should have been an unbeaten run, bar that loss to Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm.
And if they drew that match, now they would have been in control of their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think in those long periods where they have good form, they need to ensure that they don't stay in a defeat. That for me is the next level. But I think in terms of personnel, maybe they'll probably try and get in a left back, another central midfielder.
Mm.
I'm not sure Thomas Partey may stay beyond this season. Maybe because Jorginho has extended, and I just think they'll try and get another midfielder. Kai Havertz, I think, has been good up front. But if I'm looking at this team, I just think that they need a killer up front.
Mm.
And Havertz has been good. I think he can play a supplementary role, but you need a more convincing body up front. Someone who is brought in to score 20, 30 goals knows that that's his responsibility. And then maybe sell a couple of players like Zinchenko, Gabriel Jesus. Between Trossard and Martinelli,
mm.
I would let go of one and then bring in a more consistent winger. I think for this season in particular, Arsenal have been too right side biased that it's all been Odegaard and Saka.
Mm.
We've not seen too much of Martinelli. Trossard has come in and done his bit, and because he's been good, he has value for Arsenal to sell.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the long-term solution for Arsenal for the left wing.
Mm.
So if they're able to sell him this summer, they would get good value for their money.
Mm.
Now they need to get a high-class winger, so someone in the brackets of Rafael Leao. That's how ruthless they need to be now in the market, because as Kelvin said, you need players who are scoring 15, 16, 17, 18 goals up front to be able to ensure that you win games. And I think, that's the next level for them.
And also, if you're an Arsenal fan, Aston Villa has been your nemesis this season, because out of the five losses, Aston Villa beat Arsenal twice out of those five losses. And it's potentially...
And that's very sad, because you look at the teams Arsenal have won against. Look at the victories over Manchester United.
Yeah.
They won against Liverpool. They even defeated Manchester City. They defeated Tottenham Hotspur. And you look at the results. If Arsenal had even settled for two draws, it means they would have had 88 points now. If Manchester City even went their game against Tottenham on Tuesday, it means they had level on points. And it means if you had drawn, your goals for would have been better than City, depending on what happens on Tuesday, mathematically.
Yeah.
And you could be in a very good stead for the last game of the season, which is against Everton, who are a very beatable team for you.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but you know, that those were the games that Arsenal decided to focus on the Champions League instead of looking at the game that was
so there
immediate.
There were back-to-back losses in December, at the end of December, when West Ham beat Arsenal 2-0 and then Fulham beat Arsenal 2-1.
Look at Fulham.
So, yes.
Craven
Cottage. So those were the results.
Manchester City just wiped Fulham off.
Exactly. So
the thing about the Arsenal destiny or to win the title is that I think a lot depends on Aston Villa, Liverpool, than even before you think of the Spurs game.
Yeah.
Truth is, if Aston Villa beat Liverpool tomorrow, they essentially wrap up top four.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They get Champions League. And I think Liverpool being mathematically out of the champion of the title race.
Yeah.
And then Villa playing in front of their home fans would also want to make it count. So if there's a chance to get Champions League football in front of a home crowd for the last time this season, why not? And I think that's what they'll try to do. If they do succeed in beating Liverpool, I honestly don't see Spurs turning up against City on Tuesday. So that should be the first prayer point of every Arsenal fan.
Yeah, that Liverpool that wins
Aston
that
Villa
game.
Don't win that game. Mm. Because once it becomes mathematically impossible for Spurs to move up or down in the table, regardless of what happens in the final two games, then there's really no motivation.
I think Spurs themselves are disinterested, really.
Yeah, I was a bit baffled by why they brought their family onto the pit.
Why
are you doing a lap of honor?
Yeah, they are
home game in
They are disinterested.
someone needs to really explain it, or I don't get a concept of
Lampard because Madison. because it's the weekend. It's better you serve your fans that, because that's an outstanding game played on Tuesday. You won't have, you know, that bit you would want to give to your to the team. Yeah,
no, the kids will have to go to school the next day.
Exactly, so. You get it. So.
Still,
yeah, that's it. That's it. And mostly, you know, it happens on the weekends.
Yeah.
So they decided to do it, and it fell within the right time, Mother's Day. So yeah, they just had to honor it, and then leave Tuesday for itself.
Yeah, and then Wednesday the kids can go to school, you know, at a good time. So that's our conversation on the title race. Arsenal, Man City. Arsenal still closely behind, up ahead of Manchester City now.
Yeah, just by
86 points.
Yeah.
Man City up 85 points. City plays Spurs on Tuesday. And if City win, they go above Arsenal. And then the title goes on to the final day. Of it. Arsenal have won their last five games. City have won their last five games. And it looks like both of them could make it six wins out of six by next week. And so let's see just how it goes for the two teams and what they are going to be doing next season. But let's talk a bit about Chelsea now. Mauricio Pochettino, this season has been very, very undulating for Mauricio Pochettino. And Chelsea are up one time, not necessarily up to Chelsea standard, but you know they get up, they get their heads above the water,
yeah.
And then they get back into the water, stay there for a while, get their heads above the water. But within the last five games, they look like they look a bit like the Chelsea of old. Kelvin, should Chelsea keep Mauricio Pochettino?
I think they should keep him. I'm impressed. I'm highly impressed, and it was all about time, you know. He had new crop of players. And I think there's one thing that we've spoken about. All the big teams, all the top teams, they work within, you know, a certain squad size.
Mm.
But look at Chelsea's squad size.
Yeah.
Close to 40, or is even over 40.
Mm.
How does a team play with even 35 first team, you know, players?
Yeah.
Look at Pep Guardiola's pool. About 22 first team players who are battling for positions every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see he gets efficient utilization of these players.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot afford Chelsea with the, you know, injuries. But they've had, you know, the chop and change almost every now and then, trying to find the right balance for the team. And hardly do managers get it right. You could see the clear pattern of play.
Mm.
The model Pochettino wants Chelsea to play. Just like he instilled that model at Tottenham Hotspur, where they were just excellent, brilliant on the ball, the high press, the long ball. Anytime they make that the transition from straight from Heung-min Son, he goes to Harry Kane, then you have a goal coming up. Mm-hmm. Chelsea needed that bit of time for the players to just adjust to that system and philosophy.
Mm.
Unlucky for them, it did not come too early. But look at the progression from the first round till now, the end of the season. And you can clearly see that the team is now in very good stead and in a very good shape. Look at the level of competition they gave against the top sides this season. And you could see clearly a masterstroke of what could have been, you know, a thumping of some teams.
Mm-hmm.
Led to the, you know, profligacy of Nicholas Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that, look at the confidence that he's had to play and even get the goals. 14 Premier League goals this season. Not even Didier Drogba, who Chelsea fans revere so much,
mm-hmm.
was able to match those numbers during his first season with the Blues. And it clearly gives you an indication that as a young striker who is coming from Spain after just one season, drops into England in huge boots to fail, and he starts getting in the goals like this. It's great. Now, what Chelsea probably need to do, just like Arsenal may need one marquee signing on the left-hand side, mm-hmm. and one potent striker, Chelsea may probably bring in another center forward, and they have another strong midfielder in there instead of Conor Gallagher, and I think they are good to go.
But they get Lavia back next season.
Exactly. So you see, they have one of their issues of they don't have to go into the market. Now they have to get rid of all the players who are not going to add any value to them. For me, someone like Noni Madueke, he may be young and all that, but I don't think he's going to serve Chelsea great interest. And knowing Pochettino and how he may want to play with forwards where he gets goals from every single point, he can put Nicholas Jackson on either wing and get in a proper centre forward like he had in Harry Kane during his time in England. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea are good to go. Yeah. They only need to sort out, you know, their defence. Even in their defence, I think these French boys were very young. When William Saliba came to Arsenal first, Mikel Arteta didn't want him. Even Unai Emery was questioning, you know, his capability.
Yeah.
But after a season away, comes in from last season and this season, we've all seen the progression.
Mm.
And I see those signs in players that Chelsea have in their defense. But Yashile, Disasi, let's not forget that Disasi was a very strong player at Monaco.
Mm.
The reason why he joined the French national team during the World Cup, but unfortunately for him, he came to Chelsea and the start was a bit difficult.
Mm.
He's adjusted to life now. He has that experience. And I think that Chelsea are in good tune, such that if they start the preseason on a very good note, when Pochettino gets his 25-man squad or maximum 26, they should be good to go. And I don't know if Chelsea can bring Kepa back. If they can bring him back, or probably get a better goalkeeper.
Does he want to come back?
It will serve them right, because
Does he want to come back?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Sanchez and what's the other goalkeeper's name? Petkovic, right?
Mm.
Are the right hands to be in that post. But you ask yourself, if you're getting rid of these goalkeepers, which goalkeeper are you going into the market to get? Which goalkeeper is a standout? Mm. Even the great Jan Oblak has been disastrous this season.
Yeah.
So which goalkeeper are you going to get? But I still think they can come and get one of the top goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Mm.
Doing so well, maybe, I don't know whether they can just get Dean Henderson or something. Do they just need that one person to lift up their team? And I think Pochettino would get Chelsea's team on song next season. It's going to be difficult for the other teams because the progression has been great.
Yeah.
And I know the Euros will come. Not so many Chelsea players are going to be in there to play.
Mm.
And he would have ample time to prepare their minds for the upcoming season. And bet you me, they are going to work some teams of the top four.
Anyone who wants Mauricio Pochettino sacked is an enemy of progress. Quite literally. And I say this because I use the word progress. Where was Chelsea before he came?
Mm.
Chelsea finished 12th last season with 44 points.
Yeah.
If you are looking at this season, the season's not even over. Chelsea have already done 13 points better.
Yeah.
I understand that last season can be considered as an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But that was your reality.
Yeah.
That was your reality. You've lost a lot of players. You changed the environment. You brought new owners. That was your starting point. So any manager who comes in and does almost double of the position, now he's fighting for a top six. And without even considering any other type of context, why should he be sacked?
Yeah.
Why should he be talking about a sack here?
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, what was the expectation heading into the season? Who looked at Chelsea and said Chelsea would finish in the top four before the season started?
Yep.
No one. So he's not failing. If anything, people didn't even have Chelsea in their top six predictions.
Yep.
No one expected Chelsea to be ahead of Manchester United, who had just won a domestic trophy last season.
Yep.
So where from all this talk of sack? This man came in, had a very good preseason, and imagine as a new coach in a young team, you build your system, you start the season in Nkunku regime's head. Two very important players you cannot replace. There are profiles that you cannot replace. All of a sudden, now you have to rely on Jackson each game.
Yeah.
Because Nkunku, that used all that money to buy, is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of this that he's gone through and the sloppy start, look, let me just go through the form that Chelsea has actually been.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a very shaky start where he was experimenting with Chilwell at left wing back and all that. But I agree, he got stuff wrong tactically.
Yeah.
But which top coach didn't? Pep didn't even get it right in England when he came
here.
You have to adjust.
Yeah.
And if he's found a formula that he's winning now, why are you now coming to sack him? If you're looking at Premier League form, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the last 30 games, Chelsea are fifth. Only 3 points behind Aston Villa, who are fourth. In the last 25 games, Chelsea are still fifth. 3 points behind Villa in fourth. In the last 20 games, Chelsea are all of a sudden top four.
Mm-hmm.
They are fourth, just 3 points behind Liverpool. Last 15 games, Chelsea dropped to fifth, just 2 points behind Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at the last 10 games, Chelsea are third, only behind City and Arsenal. This is the pace Chelsea has been on.
Mm-hmm.
This is top four pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What Chelsea are doing. So
If the club is on the ascendancy, why are you talking about sack? Where is the talk coming? I don't understand.
For context for many of our listeners, in the last five games, Chelsea have won three, drawn one, and lost one, which is good.
Great.
Even for more context, that draw was against Aston Villa, a game that Chelsea outplayed them. And if anything, not for that VAR intervention, should have won.
The loss,
I agree. Very embarrassing. But it was against Arsenal. Probably one of the best teams in the league this season. It shouldn't have been 5-0, but on paper, Chelsea were expected to lose. So what extraordinary thing has Poch done in the past 5 months that he needs to go? And you see, just to wrap up, he needs to be sacked. Who are you going to bring? Think about the Chelsea project right now. He took a difficult job.
Yeah.
A job that there was no form of direction. Mm-hmm. There was no form of assurance. We've just bought young players. This guy has come in and found some small stability, the most we've seen in the past two seasons.
Yeah.
And you want him gone. You think Amorim will leave a sporting side that are going to play Champions League and come to owners that don't even consult you fully and will just buy players for you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Which coach is even on the market? Maybe they should just let me know when they call.
No.
But you see, all of these factors show
Zidane is there.
Zidane won't come to Chelsea.
You got callers. You got
Chelsea Hansi Flick is also
Hansi Flick's also on the market. But Hansi Flick could potentially go back to Bayern.
If
Bayern don't find it,
Tuchel is going to be free soon.
Yeah, you can go back for Tuchel.
No. The way they broke up when we got the new owners, I just don't think they'll come back. The way Tuchel wants to
anyway, acted at managers. Orico, I'll come back to you. Has Jurgen Klopp underachieved this season with Liverpool?
Should I answer as a Liverpool sympathizer or ask an analyst?
Analyst
of the game.
You're an analyst of the game first. Klopp.
I think there are two sides to the coin.
Mm.
History would remember one side, but it's up to club sympathizers.
Let's make this brief because we still have two more very pertinent issues to discuss.
Okay. Yeah. As I was saying, history just needs to. It depends on how history perceives it, but I think there are two answers. One, I don't think it's a case of black and white. Mm. He overachieved, he underachieved.
Mm.
He won every trophy they competed in, bar the Europa League, as Liverpool manager. Not every manager can say that in the team.
Yeah.
And he came to a Liverpool team that had been in the dark, I can say, for a long time.
Yep.
So to be able to win every trophy with them in about 9 years, I think it's impressive.
Yep.
The question now is, if you look at the quality of team that he was able to build, perhaps could he have done more?
Yeah.
And I think he could have done more.
Mm.
But I also hold on to the firm belief that he's not underachieved. That I would cancel.
No, this season, the question is this season.
We're looking at this season.
Yeah, this season.
Yes, the question is this season.
This season.
Yes.
Yeah.
This season, they're so out blasted. I thought it was his.
Oh, no. This season. Just this season.
It was this season. I think that he got, if anything, look, Liverpool were top of the Premier League table.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool have the experience Arsenal don't have.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They are the only non-City side to have won the league recently.
Right.
So they knew what they had to do to win the league.
Yeah.
With the benefit of hindsight, I just think the whole announcement gimmick came a bit too early.
Yep.
Because if you realized, there was a huge rush when the announcement was made.
Yeah.
Liverpool all of a sudden were not losing games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look at the manner in which they were finding a way.
Mm.
But you look at the past month and it's almost as if, just like their manager, they've also run out of energy.
Yep.
So yes, there's hindsight. This is hindsight analysis.
Mm.
But I just think that the announcement to leave the club could have been done maybe later, after the season.
Mm.
I don't know what the idea was doing that early.
Mm.
But I think in some way it might have affected the team because they played 2-3 times out of themselves and they were stripped down to bare bones because of injuries, and maybe because they were playing out of themselves they sort of wore down getting to the business part of the season, and
they eventually took their foot off the pedal and couldn't win the league. I think it would have been a very lovely story.
Yeah.
A touching farewell season for him if they won the league.
Yeah.
But he's competing with two monsters who just don't care.
Right.
They just want to win games. And that's what I expected Liverpool to do. So I think, this season is underachieved. In the Europa League as well, underachieved. It was a potential talks of quadruple.
Mm.
There was a documentary.
Yes.
It was supposed to be a perfect ending.
Yes.
A quadruple ended with one trophy.
Mm.
That is underachievement.
Okay.
Especially because this is the season that he's leaving.
Yeah.
And if it was last season, I would cut him some more slack.
Yeah.
But in the summer, they got him the players that he wanted. They refreshed his midfield.
Yep.
They got him fresh attackers.
Yeah.
Expensive ones.
Yeah. Nunes.
Yes. And you're looking at Szoboszlai. Very expensive. Yep. Quality.
Yeah.
So signings, he's been backed to make sure that this season was better than he ended up. His only win is the Carabao Cup.
Mm.
And the thing about the Carabao Cup is that when you win it in isolation, it's not impressive.
Yeah.
It has to be attached with something.
Yeah.
So, I think he's underachieved.
Anyway, Bill Eshen has also joined us in the studio. Bill is buzzing after that Arsenal win. But we've already discussed Arsenal, so we are not going back to Arsenal. Efe. Anyway, Bill, has Jurgen Klopp underachieved this season? Quickly, before we move on to two other very important issues today.
I think he has. I mean, this season is his farewell tour, and a lot of Liverpool fans had high hopes of winning a quadruple after he won the Carabao Cup. But I mean, in the space of 2 months, they were virtually knocked out of every other competition.
Yep.
I mean, we saw what happened in the Europa League with Atalanta. They lost 3-0 at home. Very, very disappointing. And how they lost to United in the FA Cup as well. You know, in the Premier League, they lost to Everton, which they shouldn't have. I mean, in fact, I mean, getting to the end of the season, I think it's been really, really disappointing. And for someone like Klopp and, you know, the kind of aspirations they had for him just before he would leave the club, I mean, the expectation was that he was at least going to win like 2-3 trophies, but he ended up winning one, which is in some ways inconsequential, really. Carabao Cup, no one really puts much, you know, attachment to it, much, you know, preference to it. And so I think it's really underachieved, in my opinion.
Mourinho attached a lot of importance to the Carabao.
Oh, that'd be him. he everything's for your own week.
Anyway, let's do a quick one, Oreku, on Kylian Mbappe, his future. I'll come to you, Bill, on what you make of how Mbappe fits into that Madrid side. That's if he ends up in Madrid. But Oreku, he's leaving PSG. His statistics are on our Facebook page, so you might want to check our Facebook page right at this point. Check the Facebook stream at this point just to see Mbappe's statistics on your screen. 306 games, 255 goals, 108 assists at PSG. Oreku, that's more than impressive.
Yeah, I think he essentially held his own at Paris Saint-Germain. Came in for a lot of money, returning to the city where he was born, had just been with Monaco in the Champions League. And then, you know, interestingly, the last time he signed, apart from Paris Saint-Germain, when it was with Monaco, when we did see Kylian lead them with the likes of Falcao and then Bernardo Silva. Essentially, I think what we're seeing now is what we've known, and you would understand why. Where I just think he's outgrown the league. He's in arguably the team that's most funded, the team that has the best resources in the league, and they're expected to win the league every season.
Yep.
He's won it 6 times, and it doesn't scream impressive because they're expected to win, and that's the truth. So the big question was that, was he really going to achieve his legacy if he stayed at PSG? And I don't think that's the case. To do that, he needs to leave his comfort zone.
Right.
And that's why we've for a long time had this conversation about Mbappe leaving, and we've known that Real Madrid would also be the final destination. I think it's time at PSG was good. Those 6 league titles, to some may be obvious, but the truth is that if you're looking at it in the context of PSG's history, that's about half of their league titles.
Yep.
So this is a player who has come in and has won half.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yes.
The number of top scorer awards that he's won in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's the all-time top scorer for the club.
Yeah.
He's definitely leaving a very huge legacy. And I think he has a case to be one of the best players PSG have ever seen.
Yeah.
He was fortunate to be part of the group that took them to their first ever final.
Mm.
It could have been better.
Yeah.
They still not won it yet.
Yeah.
But history will remember that he played a key role in taking them to the final as well and ensuring that they go deep. Even in this season's semi-final appearance, he was the main man.
Mm.
I think the only big question going forward now for Kylian is that for majority of his life, even as a boy at Monaco, he's been the main man.
Mm.
The team has always played through him,
mm-hmm.
for his club side, for his country side.
Yeah.
Now in Madrid, I don't think he's going to be the main man.
Mm.
Even if he's going to be the main man, it's going to be a shared responsibility,
yeah.
something that he's never seen before.
Mm.
Because I just don't think the hype about Bellingham and Vinicius will just die down because you've come.
Mm.
Unlike when Ronaldo moved to Madrid and had to share the spotlights of the likes of Benzema and Gareth Bale.
And Kaká.
It's not similar.
Yeah.
It's not similar this time around. That's because someone like Vinicius has proved to Madrid that he has been their main guy for the past 3-4 years,
mm.
has taken them to 2 Champions League finals. So they trust him.
Mm.
In fact, they've given him Ronaldo's jersey.
Yeah.
So he would have this. It won't just go away because Mbappe has come.
Nope.
Bellingham already, we know. It won't also vanish in one season. So now, for the first time, Mbappe is going to have to share the spotlight with different players.
Yeah.
The big question is, how does he and the rest of Real Madrid react to this?
Right. Oracle, you've spoken at length about Mbappe. I'm going to go into our last major issue. And Kelvin, I'll give you that. No, Bill, I'll give you that. Because Bill, you've not spoken too much today.
Mm.
Bill, has Andre Ayew done enough this season at Le Havre to keep his place in the Black Stars?
You know, Andre is a very divisive figure. Whenever you mention his name, a typical Ghanaian wouldn't want to see him around. If you're going by the rule that if you're performing well, you should get a place in the Black Stars,
mm.
Andre Ayew has performed well, if you're being honest.
It's a rule we made.
We made. We Ghanaians made.
Exactly.
That if you're performing well, we have to call you.
Yeah.
But have we followed it?
Have we followed it? The thing. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
that's also another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the times we don't follow it, but I think when anytime a lineup comes up from Otuado or any Black Stars coach, there's always that this guy's been playing well in Europe. Why didn't you call him? This guy's been playing well here. Why didn't you call him? In this case, if you are using that as your metric, you can't say you won't call Andre Ayew.
Right.
He's performed well at Le Havre.
Mm.
We didn't expect him to perform this well.
Yeah.
In coming back to Liga, you know, being out of shape. At some point, he hadn't played football for like 3 months before securing that move.
Yeah.
But we are seeing him scoring against PSG, you know, scoring in back-to-back games, you know, making impact for a club that is staying in the league as well. And so, for me, he's made his case.
Mm.
He's performed well enough to show that he deserves a place in the Black Stars.
Right.
But that would now depend on Otuado to decide whether he deserves to start. That's also another conversation altogether.
Yeah.
Whether he deserves to start in the Black Stars.
Yeah.
But as to whether he should be called or not, I think he's done enough.
Kelvin.
Well, I think his performance has been good enough. But I don't think the national team is always all about your performance, you know, your current form.
Mm.
You know, it depends on the chemistry that can be built and the complementary effort that he can give. In the last 2 years, I'm not sure Andre has been able to even match, you know, the kind of intensity that comes with the African game.
Mm.
We see him and he plays and then you can see he's just worked out.
Yep.
Remember that game against in the AFCON, the final game that we played.
Mozambique.
You could see he came on and after deciding to run across the pitch, you know, earnestly in about 5 minutes, he got tired.
Mm.
And the reason why he got stuck in the penalty area and then considered that handball, players are playing well, but are there others who are playing better than him and can withstand the current intensity of the game better than Andre?
Mm.
I think yes.
Okay.
He can be a squad player at best.
Mm.
but not an integral part of the team. The Black Stars now need a spine that can provide us at least 2 years of a team that any manager, even if Otuado is not present, you know that this is a textbook that we can go through and get these players to play for us.
Right.
He's doing well, he's doing great, but I don't think he deserves it. We've seen players who are doing so well, but they are not called to their national teams because the coach deems others best fit for the job.
Right.
We've seen that in England so many times.
Yeah.
Kieran Trippier has suffered, even in Ghana.
Yeah.
The likes of Tebete and the likes may be playing well, but they are not called. The 2006 World Cup, during the qualifiers, Duteux Frimpong, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when we got to the main tournament, where was he? He was nowhere to be found.
Yep.
We went to the AFCON, and our brightest spot in attack, Mathieu Amoa and Baba Amandu, Baba Adamu.
Yeah.
We got to the World Cup, where were they?
Yeah.
They were nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And I think that it all needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
He may be a squad player, but I don't think he should be up there in the main Black Stars discussions.
Anyway, let me narrow the conversation down for Oreku. Oreku, we have Mali in June.
Yeah.
Given the importance of that game and how significant it is for our course to USA 2026, should Andre start that game in Bamako?
As in, start the match?
Start the match.
Why? I'm just refreshing my memory on what happened in Otuado's first set of games, and I think in the game against Nigeria he didn't even make the squad, if I believe.
Yeah,
wasn't a suspension.
And then
the home and away.
Yeah, I think it was suspension.
It was suspension.
No. I'm talking about the friendly. And then the second game he played roughly like 10-12 minutes.
That was when we suffered the most.
And you know, the issue about players like Andre is that there's a reason why you face some older players out of, especially those with influence, you face them out at the right time. Because the truth is, look at a team like Portugal, Ronaldo. There may be other strikers in Europe doing well, but the fact that a coach would call Ronaldo means that you cannot be looking at Ronaldo's face in training. Let him train, even when he's on the bench. When you turn around to call a sub, the mere fact that you see Ronaldo can confuse you sometimes as a coach.
Yep. Yeah.
Andre only came on for the last, for the second, if we said Penso was tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Judging by what our wingers had done in the tournament, Nyama, the energy he had shown.
Yeah.
Any coach should have looked back at Nyama and said, come on. But I'm sure maybe Andre's body language, or he also believes, I can do it. Have you forgotten I've done him important? And as a coach, you're like, he's too experienced. It's almost like there's some pressure that you bow to. So what some ruthless coaches do is that, I won't call you. We've seen that with Deschamps.
Yeah.
Benzema, unfair.
Yeah.
He will even call you to come, so you come and put some pressure or call some.
Even Pavard.
Yeah. if he knows that, look, I'm not going to use you, I won't call you. Because we need to be very certain how we're managing the situation. What value do we think, if we're taking Andre and he's not going to be a starter, what value is he going to bring, as opposed to how that can potentially disrupt the team, or even the benefits of him being on the bench? I can't answer those questions. I don't know what he does on the bench. Is he the type of player who sulks up and says, I should be starting up and playing? Or is he the one who would still motivate the younger players? Otto can answer that question. But one, I don't think he should start. Yes, he's starting at Le Havre, but the way that the team is playing in a back five system, where he's in a false nine, where he has a free roll, where he doesn't necessarily need to track back with aggression, we don't have that luxury here in Ghana. Even at this point, we don't know our best 11.
Yeah.
We don't know how we want to play.
Yeah.
We're still fixing a lot of things. So if Otto is here for the future, like Keto Kweku said, I think it's better to me to lose with a confident crop that we know that if we don't go to the World Cup, we can refine that crop and then come back and compete in a year and a half time. Than relying on the older guns and then we don't go at all.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest mistake. Because in the last two AFCONs, we've taken these same old guys and we haven't gone past the group stage. That's the worst thing that can happen to you in a tournament.
Yep.
If that was going to happen, Like, let's rather take under 23 players.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go and get that experience. At least I know that they have time on their side.
Mm-hmm.
How about we are giving experience to these players who don't need the experience and are not going to use it.
Yeah.
There comes a time where you have to take difficult decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit here and talk. But the thing is that I'm not privy to enough information to say, and I don't know how he behaves in camp.
Right.
So that solely lies with Otto. But based on what I'm seeing and what I know, he shouldn't start.
Yeah.
And if he's not starting, is that going to help the team or not?
Mm.
If it's not, then we drop him.
Okay.
If he's still going to contribute in other ways in and around the team, fine. Then we can add him. I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's just another number to the team.
Mm.
But this is a very, very important game.
Yeah.
If he didn't start in your friendlies, your friendlies against Nigeria and Uganda, I don't think anything can miraculously happen for him to all of a sudden move from someone who came on in the 80th minute and start because he scored 2 goals in Liga.
Yeah, he's performing.
I don't. You see, why would you play him? I mean, that's my biggest question.
Hey, mom.
Okay. So,
we take off Kudus, we take off Inaki. You can't play the wings.
You can't play the wings.
Semenyo has also been in brilliant form.
You can't play CF. You watch Nyama and then you come and play Andre.
And the way Ghana plays, the striker, you are starved. You have to run. And you see, when they brought him, they took Jordan off and then brought Andre for the game against Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a screenshot. He was where the left center back is supposed to be on the ball.
Yes.
Because he probably wants to have a feel of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But you were supposed to be we're chasing a game.
Yes.
You're supposed to be up front. You're a left winger.
Yeah.
Jordan was playing left wing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he had dropped deep just to come and have a feel of the ball.
Mm.
That's not what we want.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, now we're just about ending the show, and thank you guys so much for doing this with me. It's always a pleasure having you guys around, Ureku, Bill, and Kelvin. But I'm just going to touch on Bill's point. If the players who are doing well in Europe should start for the Black Stars, then what makes of Jordan Ayew? And this is a question that I'm leaving out there for you, our listeners. Ponder over this question and send your comments to us on 3SportsGH across all social media
please
platforms.
Ask it again.
I'm saying that we always say that the players performing in Europe, the best players performing in Europe, should always be called up for the Black Stars. If that is the case, what do you make of Jordan Ayew? Should we call him up or not? Because he has not particularly played a lot in the last 10-15 matches. Please ponder over that. This is Sports Ultras right here on 3FM 92.7. We'll see you again next week when we bring you another exciting edition of the show. But like I said, send us your comments on our Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. It's at 3SportsGH. You can also follow us, the gang, here on the show. Kelvin's handle is at the Kel Owusu, the T-H-E Kel Owusu. Bill Eshen is at Bill_Eshen. Orekwampofo is Orekwampofo_. Mine is the Yao Fosu. You can follow us on Twitter. Let's have a conversation. But ponder over my question. Should Jordan Ayew be called up to the Black Stars given how Oliver Glasner has treated him at Crystal Palace? He hasn't played so much. Should he be called up? See you next week.
With the effect.